There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Next couple hours, you and I, a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about here, so I want to hear from you as well. On the phone line and the text line, same digits, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Maybe you want to put that in your contacts list, you know, with 56 hours a week of live local shows. You may want to chime in on any of those shows, 7 days a week, live shows right here at FM Talk 106.5. Keep the number handy. You can use it there for a call or a text. And actually, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, it's all in one place. The phone number's on there. You can call, you can text from the app, and you can also send us a talkback message using that microphone icon. All right, we will get to monkeys and trains here in just a little bit. I do want to just let you know, at some point we may break in here as there's a presser. Now it's Washington time, right? So it's supposed to be noon today, presser with the FBI on this arrest, but I've done this for a long time now. They give you a dead time that there's going to be a press conference. That's not always exact. So it's the Washington time they're working on. But the story we're talking about here and breaking this morning, a pretty significant story as well. The FBI has now arrested a suspect in the D.C. pipe bomb case 5 years after this. This is significant. This is and a lot of questions here. It says a suspect who allegedly from Fox News. Suspect who allegedly planted pipe bombs blocks from the U.S. Capitol on January 5th, 2021, is now in federal custody after a 5-year investigation. Law enforcement told Fox News. Then on here, the FBI has arrested the suspect, a male living in Virginia, early this morning. The man in custody is 30-year-old Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge. Authorities discovered the two pipe bombs near the Republican and Democrat National Committee headquarters around the same time that thousands of protesters a few blocks away began to descend on the Capitol over the 2020 election results. You remember that? That was a precursor, those bombs. Video footage released by the FBI. And this has been gone over, right? The video footage, because the person has a mask on and people were trying to identify, well, you know, the kind of glasses the person was wearing, the gait, the way they were walking. This has been, videos gone over and over again out there. Mostly, I'm sure at FBI headquarters, but a lot online. The video footage released by the FBI showed an unidentified person placing the pipe bombs near the two headquarters more than 16 hours before law enforcement found them. The suspect was seen wearing a gray hoodie, Nike Air Max Speed Turf sneakers. I mean, they could tell what kind of sneakers guys got on. Mask, gloves, glasses, but the person's identity had long been unknown. Initial investigation had slowed in under 2 months by the end of February 2021, possible result of credible leads drying up at the time, according to a congressional report. Okay, so that's back then. And it's says a lingering mystery led to a faction of President Trump's base to raise concerns about the timing of the pipe bomb incident and security failures surrounding it. Some elevated theories that the Biden administration was not forthright to the public about the facts of the case. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino had suggested the planting of the bombs was an inside job prior to joining the Bureau. Yeah, there a lot of stuff was said. I mean, Bongino, this is the thing with Patel and Bongino, and I won't let the Epstein thing go. I know it's the popular thing to do out there now, let it go, but I won't. A lot of things they said, they painted themselves into a corner. So you sit there on the campaign trail and say a lot of stuff, and then people go, okay, you know, pay it off. But Bongino was saying, you know, inside job. And then he ends up becoming an inside person at the FBI, right? Says during the investigation, a top official with the FBI Washington field office told the public the bombs were live explosive devices. And they said they were viable devices that could have been detonated, resulting in serious injury or death. In other words, they weren't dummy bombs. Okay, so this has been out there for the longest time. And honestly, I bet you a lot of y'all, you know, didn't think about this, right? It hadn't been a top of mind thing, this investigation. 5 years later, that's what I was saying to Jeff at the end of the show. 5 years later, that's significant. Yeah, I'm not a detective here, but 5 years, detectives out there, it's getting pretty cold, right? I mean, a lot of people move away. This, you know, all these things happen. So what happened here? I'm going to be interested when this presser happens with the FBI. Was it just what changed here? Did an anonymous tip come in? I don't know. Did somebody get busted for something else that had knowledge of this that ratted out the, you know, how did this go on? It's 5 years of an investigation. So if this guy's, he's 30 now, 25 years old then, and did the two bombs, and was this tied, you know, I mean, question answer, was tied to January 6th. What, was there any coordination here? I mean, it's, Occam's razor in this case would actually make me think that, yes, there was some kind of coordination to it. Usually Occam's razor makes me go, yeah, that's a conspiracy. That's probably third down the list of possibilities. Here's some, but this, in this case, there's something to this, right? So we're going to have a presser at some point here. They told us it would start at noon, but when it does, we'll try to get you updates from that. So your thoughts on that, we'll get those on the text line at 343-0106. Maximus says possibly a DNA hit that they had on the device but didn't have a match for until recently. That's very interesting. There you go. So, yeah, it's that could be it. That you have the DNA from the bomb or something like that, but you don't have the match until it's sitting out there and this person has DNA taken for something else. That's a pretty decent theory working right there. I don't know. I mean, what broke in this? Is it, like Maximus says, the DNA? Is it, for some reason, some anonymous tip that came in 5 years later? Was it somebody, you know, got busted on something and they're trying to give information to try to get out, you know, oh, yeah, well, I'll trade you this for that. I don't know, but it's a, you know, five-year, it's not a cold case. I don't want to say it's a cold case, but long time. And now they have the person. Now, does this then bring up further conversations? I think it's got to. Who did this guy know? Now, the question is this going to be like a Thomas Crook situation where there'll be no digital footprint? Please tell me they're going to try that one again. No digital footprint. The guy would have been 25 years old. He's 30 now. Don't tell me like, oh, there's not, we saw nothing online for this guy. What? So obviously those investigations are being made. All right, we come back. We'll get to the local news stories that really have been driving the thoughts of the populace here. And yes, the train is part of it, but the monkeys. The monkey raid, that was breaking as we went on the air yesterday with this show. We'll get into that. And actually, while I have people in the law enforcement world listening here, what is the police code for monkey bites? Is there something like if you call in a, you know, is there a code there for a monkey bite specifically? Not like a dog bite. Is there a monkey bite code? I'd like to know. We'll find out. We'll come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:18, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, I mentioned Santa's out there thinking about bikes, e-bikes, or non-e-bikes for Christmas. check out the selection at my buddy Clint Jameson's shop at Adventure Earth Bicycles. But also on the e-bike or the any bike size or any type bike, having something put together by people that know what they're doing is important, right? We've been there before. Santa's out there on Christmas Eve putting together bikes out there, right? Yeah. It's nice to get a bike that's put together by somebody who knows what they're doing and it's tuned and ready to roll. It's even more important when you get into e-bikes. And, you know, Clint and I were talking the other day. He said, hey, here's a case of what I'm talking about. I said, okay. He said, lady comes in, very nice lady, comes and shows up at Adventure Earth Bicycles looking for help because she ordered an electric bike, an e-bike, online, and she gets it. It was partially assembled in the box, and then Amazon is who it was, had a contractor that was supposed to show up at her house and finish assembling her e-bike. Well, he said, this person showed up, was not really qualified to do it, really didn't know what they were doing. They were just kind of like a handyman and was trying to assemble the e-bike. He got frustrated. It didn't work, didn't have the parts in there that were supposed to be in there. Now the person didn't return her phone calls or text messages. She had nothing. So she had this like half-put-together bike without the right parts. So she goes to Adventure Earth Bicycles to ask if they can help. They're looking at the thing, but they realize that this person was not even sent all the right parts for this bike from online. Now she has to, I guess, he didn't ever tell me, I guess send it back or something to that effect. In other words, she's gone through all this and still didn't have the bike she wants. Okay. You go to Adventure Earth Bicycles, the bikes are put together. Heck, you get to test drive different e-bikes or regular bikes. You know, if you're looking for an on-road, off-road, hybrid, whatever, he's got those bikes. Take a test ride, see if that's the right bike for you, you know, physically feel if it's the right bike for you. And then it's going to show up completely assembled and tuned, plus warranty on all your equipment that you just bring it. If you have some kind of issue, you bring it to Adventure Earth Bicycles. They fix it right there. So you're thinking about it, whether it's an e-bike or a good old-fashioned non-electrical bike, think about Adventure Earth Bicycles for Christmas this year. They're online at adventure-earth.com. In person, most fun, because you can see all the bicycles. They're at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. All right, back to the stories that are... Yeah, I'm sorry. This is funny. Fire Dog said, shiny, bloody bike on Christmas morning, and Dad's hands were always bandaged for some reason. Yep. Been there. I'll just say, been there. Let's see. Jason said, Sean, in regards to the pipe bomber case, I think we just finally have a motivated DOJ. And also, is Underdog Fantasy giving an over-under on Amtrak vehicle accidents this month? I'd take the over. Jason, you know, this has been, if you listen to the show, I know you listen, when they were testing Amtrak around here, remember? They're the accidents. I said, this is a sign. This is a sign. This wasn't even like in service, right? Remember they did the, I don't know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, they were doing like shakedown runs and they were having it, these crashes. And what people told me, and it seems to make sense, is the people that have some kind of habit of running railroad tracks, running the signs, think that a train goes X miles an hour, right? And they're thinking a freight train, and these trains go faster out there. And then they miscalculate, and they get hit. And this has been deadly. I mean, we're not just around here, Mississippi Coast as well. This story yesterday, this from Fox 10, said heart-stopping surveillance video captured the moment an Amtrak train slammed into the back of a pickup truck in Irvington. Yesterday around 11 a.m., an impact that came within just feet of becoming a fatal tragedy. No injuries reported. You see this thing in the way it just knocks the bed off the back of this pickup. Amtrak officials say the train was heading from New Orleans to Mobile, and none of the 20 passengers on board were hurt. I'll tell you that. You're safer in the train. Every one of these stories we've had so far, everybody in the train, good. People in the vehicle, not so good. So the collision occurred on Bala Battery Highway, just south of Highway 90. I know that. I go over that track. I know it well. It says, in the video, white pickup truck can be seen pulling. And you can go look at this video. It's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. It said, in the video, the white pickup truck can be seen pulling up to a railroad crossing as red warning lights are flashing. Crossing arms sit fully lowered. Instead of stopping, the driver edges around the arm and begins creeping across the track. Within seconds, the incoming Amtrak train burst into the frame, slamming into the vehicle in the rear of the truck, ripping through the truck bed with explosive force. I like that. It's a good adjective. Let's see. Cloud of dust fills the air. So there you go. Witnesses tell Fox 10 News that two people were inside the pickup, a driver and a passenger. According to a source on the scene, the driver ran away immediately after the crash while the passenger remained. So the incident comes amid a string of deadly train vehicle collisions along the Gulf Coast. In September, two people were killed when the Amtrak Mardi Gras service. You think they're going to put like notches up on the in the locomotive, like how many they've hit? Yeah, in September, two people killed. Amtrak Mardi Gras service train truck struck a car in Pass Christian. And just last month, Gaucher, one person died while attempting to beat the oncoming Amtrak train. You know, we run the public service announcements around here constantly about don't do this with a train. I think when I hear them, I go, well, we're probably not preaching to the right audience. Y'all are all pretty dialed in. Maybe you can just, you got cousins and stuff that are maybe not as smart as you, right? You know, you got those cousins. You just let them know. So, and there's a line of these. I don't know. But, Jason, I think you're probably smart in taking the over. And then the other story that drove so much discussion yesterday, and in this case, I'm going to just go straight to the monkey, the reporter's mouth here, okay? And we lead off with my friend, I'm not calling you Monkey Devin. So Devin Walsh here starts off the story on WKRG of the monkey raid. Okay, so let's go to cut one. This is the report from, I think, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon about the monkey raid that went down in the corner.
Federal agents swarm a house in Tillman's Corner and find more than a dozen monkeys in cages. WKRG News 5's Christina J. Harris joins us live from the house this afternoon. And Christina, a lot of people have been wondering what in the world is going on over there.
I wish you would say at this point, well, it seems to be some monkey business, Devin, but she doesn't. She says,
yeah, Devin, it's still all happening here on Chimps Lane and Tillman's Corner.
Which, by the way, too, we missed an opportunity for it to be Chimps Lane. I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead.
We've been here for multiple hours monitoring this investigation. For hours now, there has been cars lined up all outside of this home. These vehicles are still here right now as we are here with you. Most of the agents that are with this investigation are a part of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, they have confirmed to us that they are the lead agency conducting this investigation. They've stretched yellow caution tape across the front of the home, and we're told that there are domestic cats and dogs here inside of that residence. Now, we spoke with a neighbor who lives right across the street who said
dogs, cats, and monkeys at the same house. Just pointing this out.
She was bitten by one of the monkeys.
Okay, we got to go back because this. I want you all to prepare yourself for this next part. This is probably the part that set it off yesterday to me after hearing this report. So this is a woman on the street. Neighbor responds to the monkeys about what it's been like to live around the monkeys. I want you to listen in detail here.
Monkeys.
Yes, I have. I've actually had the monkeys bite me before twice. That was fun. Well, the monkeys coming and biting people, I remember back when I was like 16. It was like 3 years ago. One of the monkeys was like sexist and it didn't like women, so it was always biting girls.
Can we roll that back? Can y'all roll that back in there? Okay, let's go. I just want to, I need.
I remember back when I was like 16. It was like 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
One of the monkeys was like sexist and it didn't like women.
Okay, so we got, not only do we have monkeys that have brought the attention of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So I don't know what, were they undocumented monkey? I don't know what's going on with the monkeys, but they got these monkeys. All right, so we got the situation with the monkeys. But on top of that, let's think about this. On top of that, the monkeys are sexist. Let's go back again, once again.
I remember back when I was like 16.
Uh-huh.
It was like 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
One of the monkeys was like sexist and it didn't like women, so it was always biting girls. That's why it bit me, I think.
So, I think we really need to bring some more federal forces to bear here, too, because not only are they monkeys that are... Something's going on that's brought U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in on the monkeys, but as you have heard this woman who is now, I guess, 19 by my math, because she said... I was 16. That was 3 years ago. So she's 19. She says the monkey is sexist. Sexist monkey. And that's why it had bit her. So can we round this out? Let's go to the rest of it here. Yeah. Long pause here for effect, I guess.
Now, neighbors have been back and forth for the past couple of hours in this area trying to gather more information on the cause of this investigation. Now, at this...
What are they trying to figure out? The cause of the investigation? The U.S. Fish and Wildlife is there, and they're putting monkeys in kennels and hauling them away. So do you think there's something else going on here in this?
There have been no arrests, and there have been no animals that have been transported off of this property. Live in Tillman's Corner, I'm Christina J. Harris, WKRG News 5.
Okay, so there you go. So that's the report there. I don't know what else may have happened in this. Of course, yesterday we did ask the question, how many monkeys would put you like the over? Like, you know, you hear like somebody has 300 cats, you go, that's probably too many. You know that? Somebody suggested yesterday that it should be the volume, a barrel full. You get one barrel full of monkeys, beyond that, you're in violation. Yes, thank you. Charles is going ape over today's show, as am I. We'll be right back. I'm going to throw my friend Ben Raines into this mix. He doesn't seem pleased about that. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Thursday. And this will actually segue perfectly because... told you it got launched back. It always does the Monday after Thanksgiving. Locals only Christmas list. I build this for a week or two and then we put it out. We update it the whole way through Christmas. Locals only Christmas is this. And this is the frequently asked questions. It is, and believe me, local business, we love all local businesses. We're one of y'all. But this is for, it could be a local business, but it's for things made or experiences that are local. It could be food, it could be art. It could be experiences. We'll talk about that with my friend here in just a second. But I get those. The books, several of you authors have given me links to your new books. So when you send an email in, I know text line's convenient, but y'all, we get truly thousands of text and stuff gets lost. And people, like, I'll see something a month later because that same person texts back during the show and I didn't see it. Send an email to Sean, spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. With that local craft, experience that local gift. It's truly, it started off Mobile and Baldwin County. I have expanded other areas in the state of Alabama, Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi, if it's the right gift. So if you are that person that makes the thing or you know that person, send me an email with the name of it, what it is, and contact information. And then we put it all together in a list and all of us get to use this to have the coolest Christmas tree. I mean, Christmas gifts under the Christmas tree. They're locally made. So put those in, and I'll get that list coming out. Speaking of the list, this guy makes a list every year, whether it is on a couple of different categories. In the book category, he makes it there. Also, the experiences category. And if he makes some kind of craft soap or something, I can put him in another one. It's my buddy Ben Raines. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean.
you think about that, like a soap or candles?
I've actually talk all the time about lizard tail soap. You know, the lizard tail flowers in the Delta, those curly white ones?
Do they have that? Do they have an astringent?
They smell incredible. They're one of the sweetest smelling flowers I've ever smelled. And it's a joke I make on the boat.
Put them in with
lizard tail soap.
It'd be huge.
It would be. I think it would be. And we've got plenty of it.
Okay, so you're going to be in yet another category.
Yep. All right. Soap man. I like it.
So, and you'll see, and people always will be asked, like, Ben's books or documentaries, I'll have links to all those. You can go in there. But also, experiences category. And I want to talk about that quickly and then come back to it. You do have some availability coming up this month.
Yeah. Well, I've planned 3 trips to the Clotilda on December 20th. Now, if people want to go a different day, that's fine. They can call me and book me. But those are group trips where you can buy a single seat. There's one at 9 in the morning, and it's still got some openings. The noon trip is all full. And then the 2:30 trip has 4 or 5 openings still.
Okay.
But if somebody wants to go a different day over the holidays – reach out. And same with going out in the Delta.
Yes. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other trips, but I just want to make sure this one
are the December 20 group trips. It's a Saturday. If you want to see the Clotilda, you can actually see it on my side scan sonar.
And if we get a big super blue norther, it'll be very shallow over.
Yeah. Like it was the other day.
Yeah.
But this is not something you're going to be able to see for very long if the state goes through with their plan.
And their plan is?
Their plan is to completely bury the Clotilda under mud.
Why?
They argue that it's the best way to preserve it. is to disappear it under mud.
They have been almost, in my opinion,
I think two-dimensional would be a better way.
Yes. I mean, the different options are. Okay, but I mean, to me, they're like two-dimensional cartoon characters, the way they've acted in this. It's like I wait for some nuance that I don't get, because I often don't jump to a conclusion until I go, maybe I don't understand all sides, but I've been following this. It seems, so either you bring it up, you put it on display, okay, which has been done. Don't tell me you can't do it. We have Viking ship hulls that are on display. Or you keep it in place where people can go to it and side scan sonar and all that. But their idea is
to totally bury it under the mud. You might say they're missing the boat.
See, that's a good joke.
Are they going to argue that
just like we talk about mud, you get an anaerobic situation, exactly. You don't have the decomposition.
It'll quit decaying if it's covered in mud. Now, most of it's already covered in mud.
Right.
The only parts that aren't are the parts you can see. You know, you can see the outline of the ship quite well on the boat. On my side scan, you can see, I mean, it's actually amazing when you see it, and it really takes your breath away. I've done it many times. Every time I'm still, you know, partly because of the legacy of the ship, what it means, the people who are on board, and you realize, you know, what this ship did and how many ships like it there were.
Yep.
You know, like 30,000. And this is the only one that we have that's intact, and it's right here in our backyard. So, you know, it's a very powerful experience to go and see it. And, you know, and I love talking about the history and the legacy of the captives who arrived on board and, you know, what happened to them. But, you know, I don't know when the state is going to pull the trigger and cover it in
mud.
And
explain to people who has the rights, right? So, I mean, we talk about it's in the water, it's underwater.
Right.
Who has the rights to make
it? It's admiralty law. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to go to admiralty court and try and fight for the rights. But a retired federal judge offered to represent me and said, we're going to lose, but if you want to make a stink. Mm-hmm. And so I surrendered and let the state claim ownership, because that's under state law, anything in state waters that's older than 50 years automatically belongs to the state. And that was a law to prevent looting of Civil War artifacts, mostly. But it applies to the Clotilda, which ultimately is a Civil War artifact, I guess. So anyway, I didn't do that. I really regret it. I wish I had partnered with the descendants to try and get some say in the ownership so we'd have more control, because now we have none. But, you know, if you want to see it, the clock is ticking. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to take people to do this. And this is the first time I've done it this year. I mean, I've taken some private
groups, we did private with you. I mean, to see the look on my mother's face as she stood there looking at your bottom machine, just slack-jawed that there it was.
Yeah. Well, you were kind of slack-jawed too.
Yeah. Yeah,
and me.
You
talked about experiences. That's an experience.
And that's what I'm saying. So you offer, and when people check out your website, all different kind of tours and experiences, but this is one that does have kind of a clock ticking to it.
Yeah.
So if you've been going to get around to it, it's time to get around to it.
Because I mean, it depresses me that's what the state is pushing to do. I have been trying since I found it in 2018 to come up with somebody with enough money to preserve it and do the right thing.
Yeah, and they'll argue too that, well, you can't do this. It's not possible to get it.
Which is a lie.
I mean, you're not talking about
ships all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be done. It's just you have to have the
cofferdam, pump it out, you know.
Yeah, but it's one of those cases. Mobile, and not just Mobile, but Alabama, we often fail at these historic moments where we could do something that would benefit everybody. You know, the people in the state, the people in the city, and this would be one of those things. And we just can't seem to get the vision all the way through. I feel like it's something that's held Alabama and Mobile back, both this same thing. It's kind of like we don't have a waterfront that you can access downtown. Short-sighted.
I will say this, my last interview with former Mayor Sandy Stimson as he left, and I really think in 12 years, I mean, he's the best mayor of my lifetime here, and so many things happened.
Great guy.
And he and I agree on so many things, and that we do have Brooklyn by the Bay and different access to the water. You know, growing up here, I never even thought that we didn't have, because we go to Dolphin Island in the summertime or go to the Delta, and I didn't even think about it that way. That was true. His vision, I think, for the riverfront was more like yours. To me, the riverfront's working place. I don't need access on the riverfront, but
right.
But that's, you know.
But, you know, you go to other cities and.
But it's not San Antonio. We're not talking about a little creek. I mean, we're talking about a working
Well, sure, but go to New York City, and there are all these parks on the river's edge, and there are people out there fishing, you know, and people could be doing that downtown Mobile. The fishing's dynamite in the Mobile River down there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Cast far enough to get off the ledge there, yeah.
Yeah, well, but, you know, trout fishing or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's one of my soapboxes. I got a lot. So no, I need to make the lizard tail soap.
Yes, you do, for your soapbox, and have it be Ben's soapbox featuring lizard tail soap. come back to some of the other trips. I do want to, before we go any further, too, just add this in, y'all. So, and I see all your texts, and we're going to get to these. But I said something. Ben walks in, and we're talking about this monkey story from here. And you said you were working in, where were you?
I was in Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon. Okay, so you're working in Bend, Oregon, and you're a reporter, and you get.
And I heard about the monkey woman.
The monkey woman.
And she had four retired chimpanzees living at her ranch.
It's like the chimp crazy stuff for those of y'all who saw the show.
And you know, what people don't understand about chimpanzees is they're like humans. They go through puberty. Mm-hmm. And after puberty, they are pissed off and don't want to do what you tell them.
And they show it in that chimp crazy documentary. Before puberty, they're sweethearts.
It's like a kid.
Yeah. Well, so, and then they do that, and the boys become real pains.
Yeah. And so one of the chimps this woman had been the main public chimpanzee at Marine World in Los Angeles, California, which is like a SeaWorld amusement park that closed down. And the chimp was great and happy until it got to be, you know, through puberty. She's a female. And she started becoming
acting
aggressive.
Out.
And so they – so what are you going to do with this, you know, 12-year-old chimp for the rest of its 50-year life? And so this particular lady – takes in these chimps. I wonder what's happened to her. This was 25, 30 years ago. I wrote about her. But she did have another monkey I mentioned, and it was a spider monkey, and it wore a diaper.
So she's got the chimps, but then she also, in addition, has a spider monkey.
Yeah, that you know, it would fit in her purse.
Yeah.
The portable monkey. And so I have witnesses who were at this party she threw on a sailboat. She had a big sailboat, and they were all down there drinking, and the monkey was drinking. And the monkey would run around and grab people's drinks and drink.
The monkey's drinking alcohol.
The monkey got really drunk. And yes,
because I've heard
alcohol.
Drunk as a monkey before.
Well, her chimpanzees drank beer. She'd let them have Budweiser's, chilled them out. But anyway, the monkey somehow got up on the rigging of the sailboat and then jumped toward the dock. And this poor drunk monkey somehow got electrocuted at the party. And it was a huge scandal.
See, I just the obviously there's the lead. It's the electrocuted monkey.
Yeah.
But the painting the picture to me. We're on a sailboat party. She's obviously got cash. She's well heeled.
Oh, yes.
Right? Sailboat party. And people are, oh, hello, Buffy. Hello, so and so. Tinkle, tinkle on the glasses, whatever. And there's a dang monkey running around.
Yeah. In a diaper. And it would take
it's drinking.
Part of the story was the monkey was up in the rigging of the sailboat, grabbing poop out of its diaper and throwing it at the people down below.
The way the monkeys at the Montgomery Zoo throw poop at people. So it's. I had some guys I went to Alabama with that did stuff like that too. But yeah, so drunk monkey on the sailboat at the fancy party.
To be fair, I did not include the monkey electrocution incident in the story about the chimpanzee rescue facility.
Well, you talk about burying the lead.
Yeah,
shocking.
That's good.
Let's do this though. Like I wanted to. Can we go here instead of the regular music to lead us out? Can we? There we go. All right, be right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve. And a reminder, too, this is a part of the list we put together every year, the Locals Only Christmas List. And until he gets the soap, he only occupies two categories, my buddy Ben Raines. And speaking of which, I got to ask, what's next as you look at look at that. He's showing me a picture of a cat that brought – so your cat would go hunt rabbits and bring them to you?
Yep. It's a cool cat.
It is a cool cat.
Rest in peace.
There you go.
Poor Arthur.
Yeah, but
he died last week.
Now, R.I.P. Arthur the Rabbit Catching Cat. Now, we're talking you know, about films, and people can go back if they go to your website, because people always ask me when you're on, like, how can I go see that? And you can go see it all through your website, but you're always working on something else.
I got a lot of things I'm working
on.
He
does this because he likes nice cameras, is my belief.
Well, that's definitely part of it.
You like nice cameras, but what you're working on? Can you tell me?
Well, yes. I've got one thing I'm working on that's a historic artifact that I can't tell you about yet, but hopefully soon.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing I want to do, I'm about to launch a new sort of web presence that'll be Save America's Amazon.
Okay.
And it'll be modeled on the guy that's doing the Native Plant Project, if you're familiar with him.
Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly. I love his work.
Tell Kyle to answer my text, please.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
He teed me off right now.
You know, he just got profiled in the New York Times.
Don't let that dang North Alabama hillbilly get his head so big. He's great. He's a great guy.
But I want to do that for the Delta, and I've got all the footage. So that's my kind of what I'm getting. I'm gearing up to launch this thing, and it'll be Instagram, YouTube, you know, that kind of stuff. But I want to showcase the Delta kind of in a, you know, continual and daily way where people can click on it and see some new thing going on out there, kind of year round.
Like seasonally, what's happening?
Yeah. But it'll be it's like a real time advertisement for the Delta.
Cool.
Because, you know, it's still so little known. Locally, we've kind of gotten it. We're getting the message now. And as a state, we're starting to get the message. But nationally, that's what, you know, everybody knows, oh, Yosemite's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yellowstone's incredible. Well, we need people to say, oh, the Mobile Tensaw Delta is incredible. Except they'll probably say America's Amazon's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better name. But that's kind of my big launch I'm hoping to do. I'm actually kind of feeling around for investors to build a hotel on the edge of the Delta that would be like when you go in the Amazon and they stay in those treehouse kind of things and all that. I have a vision for that.
I'll show you some pictures. We went down, not this year, last year, to Azulik in Mexico. It was the person I went with. It was her jam, not exactly mine. I mean, it looked like nothing but a lawsuit waiting to happen because it was Swiss Family Robinson.
Want.
Awesome. I'm like, man, people are going to break their ankles on this stuff. But it was a cool thing. You know, here's the question, too, is how do we – it has been expanded, tourist activities in the Delta. Definitely has from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you knew one of us and hopped in the boat with us, you didn't go. Is it going to be – is there room for that? I mean, I don't want it to be Great Smoky Mountain National Park because I don't want people in my way all the time. But then,
the reality is the difference in the weekend and the weekday. And I see it all the time. I'll do a charter in the middle of the week in April, and I'll see maybe two or three boats while running 40 miles during the course of the day. I do that same trip on Saturday. We may see 80 to 150 boats.
Sure, because we all got to be at work.
And that's the difference. Yeah. So, if you want your Delta solitude, you know, you need to be out there on a weekday.
Yeah.
And there are more boats now. You know, we got all these since COVID, I feel like, the fishing pressure, it's why we've had to lower the spec limit. Mm-hmm. And so we've all got to make room for each other. And, I really want to take one second to say, if you're in the little creeks in the Delta, slow down.
Mm-hmm. No
these
joke.
People are hauling, they're flying around, and a lot of them have very little boating experience. And, you know, if there's a blind curve ahead of you, you have no idea what's on the other side.
Correct.
And one day it may be you in a boat on the other side and some guys flying
around. And the people who don't, that were just, okay, y'all, this is just Ben and I talking. Y'all can join in. But the people that don't know this is why I shut down. You see, I just shut down and go neutral because.
Yeah, that's what I do.
You're like, we're all past it on the right. You need to continue. But then they panic and they don't. You know, and also, I mean, you think about somewhere like Conway or something like that, you know, with extreme point bars and cut banks and all that, you're like, we can only run right in here.
Yeah.
So when you get to them, just ease back.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% agree with you, but doesn't keep it from happening up there.
No. And I just, you know, I don't want it to be me.
No, seriously, it is. I mean, it's things I didn't think about. You know, I'll tell a funny story about my progression from, we used to run, we'd have a Q-beam sometime, but I mean, you started duck hunting in the Delta in 1980s. I was talking to some guys this last weekend. They said, how long have you been hunting? I said, well, I legally shot lead. That's how long I've been duck hunting the Delta. And we'd go, sometimes have a QBM, but, you know, nav lights, I don't know what we had, whatever. I got a little older, then we had lights. And then we had life jackets, but we weren't wearing them. Then I started wearing them at night. As I got a little older, when I had kids, when my first child was born, I started wearing the life jacket. full time. It was just it's progression. So I'm not going to sit and say I did everything perfectly. But as I got older and you saw that baby, you know, and you, then I got, you know, kill switches and life. I became a complete nerd. Yeah.
Now, I'm a big kill switch fanatic, having having seen some of those accidents.
Yeah, no joke, 100%. Other trips you've taken to, we talk about, of course, the Clotilda one with, you know, kind of time going on, and the fact that somebody can get in with a group already set up instead of having to, you know, do a whole charter. I know you did a lot before the water came up, the rain came up. You're going to look at the cypress.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm we've had a lot of rain right now, so it's going to be a little wetter around there. But it's still not that bad this year. You could get
well, it's the driest November I can remember.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so October, you could actually get to the tree without getting wet. And then the last time I went was about 2 weeks ago, and you had to get wet about the last 20 feet. But it wasn't bad, and it's beautiful out there. The orchids are blooming right now. We've got two orchids blooming in the Delta right now. And, you know, if that—
They made it through that, they made it through that cold pop a few weeks
ago?
They
did. What was interesting is they did not— one of them, the green fly orchid that lives in the trees, it did not bloom this spring at all. Any of the sites I know of.
After that
of the
big snow, yeah.
Yeah, it did bloom. It normally blooms twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another plant, which is a carnivorous plant that lives in the Delta underwater. It's an underwater carnivorous plant called a bladderwort. The only time you can see them is when they're blooming.
They you told me about that. Yeah, yeah.
They did not bloom at all this spring. I saw maybe 10.
Yeah, we talked about that in April, how the cold
the
really is.
We had maybe a quarter of the lotus this year than we normally have. Because that snow was sitting right on top of them, I think. And so it, you know, the ones, I'm hoping they come back.
They'll come back. It's probably, you know, it's probably good for them.
Well, I'm hoping we have the whole show this year.
Yeah.
You know, it was great what we had, but it was less than the year before by far.
People want to get, you know, we keep talking about all these things, whether they be film, not yet soap, books and trips. There's a clearinghouse for all this.
Yeah. So benrains.org is where you can get on the trips and stuff. You can go to my YouTube, which is just Ben Rains YouTube channel, and you can see the documentaries all there. And you know, like the Carnivorous Kingdom's in 4K there, so it looks better than it does on the state website, public TV website.
Camera guy.
Yeah. I've The Last Estuary is my new documentary. It's coming closer to being ready.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say earlier, but
well,
you went off on a tangent.
Well, it's not quite there. So I'm actually wanting to do a new America's Amazon documentary. You know, it's been more than a decade since the first one.
God, we're getting old.
I know. That one came out in 2012, so it's been 13 years. So I want to do a new one that does the whole state.
Very cool. Maybe we just we do a canoe trip from headwaters all the way down.
That's actually a good idea.
Can do that?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
It's Ben Rains, everybody. Thank you, brother. Good to see you.